This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Okay, it is Dom time. A lot of financial news, a lot of economic news. Some of it incredibly good. Some of it, I'm not on board with the tariff idea. You heard Jeff Andrew. How long would you give on this? So we turn to just one of the greats that you can get on in talk radio, E.G. Antoni, economist, research fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Grover M. Herman Center for the Federal Budget. Man, that must be a big, EJ, if there's a chair there for that, for the federal budget, it's got to be like a couch. You can't just have a chair. It's so enormous.
You should see the size of my business cards, Dom. Believe me, they're the biggest ever, okay? No one's got bigger business cards than I do.
Has anything, as someone who knows all this stuff, EJ, and is inside this, has anything moved you as far as what they have found as far as waste, fraud, abuse, stuff going on inside the federal government?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I guess it's a never-ending source of comedy material, right? The different things that they've found. It doesn't surprise me from the standpoint of I've been researching this stuff for enough years, and I've seen enough of the lunacy. But one of the things that I would say makes me very hopeful, Dom, is the fact that they are now finally drawing so much attention to it, right? For the first time ever, you finally have mainstream media outlets being forced to talk about these issues. It's incredible how once the American people are aware of all of the abuse and the fraud and the waste that is being done ostensibly in their name with their tax dollars, it's amazing how there's finally some outrage about it. People are waking up and, hey, sunlight is the best disinfectant, right? So as more and more people become aware, I think we finally have hope that something will be done because political pressure is now being exerted on the politicians to do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point, the people I usually have on, we just have Jeff Andrew on and others, they're not fans of these continuing resolutions. But I guess the best way I see it is it appears to be an off-ramp moving on to something bigger. So how did you see this resolution and the politics and the economic impact of it playing out? Does it seem like they have a solid case here? Yeah, do this and move on.
Well, I think life doesn't ask you what you want. Life presents you with options, right? Mm-hmm. And politics is the art of the possible. So we have to look at what is actually possible right now. And I think among the options that we have – The one we would want would be to implement all kinds of cuts, including all the different things that DOGE has found, to implement that immediately. Unfortunately, though, that's just not on the table for a couple of different reasons, not the least of which is we haven't gone through the process of calculating exactly how much this is going to save over that 10-year budget window that they always operate in. The other thing is the fact that a lot of the modeling that is done by the agencies that score these tax bills, in other words, that estimate how much they're going to cost or how much additional revenue will come in, those models have a lot of problems in them, and we're working on fixing them. Unfortunately, that's taking time, and we don't yet have enough time to get all of the corrections made that need to be done in order to make the scoring more accurate. You know, for example, what the Congressional Budget Office thought we were going to take in terms of revenue after the Trump tax reform was passed was off by literally hundreds of billions of dollars. In the 10-year window, it wasn't just off by billions, it was off by trillions. So clearly we need to update these figures, right? Because the amount that they thought was going to come in from taxes was way less than actually has come in. So, again, clearly things are off. We need time to fix it. This does provide some time to do exactly just that.
Now, you talk about the, just a second ago, the art of the possible. Steve Moore has been on the show. We have a couple of other people. You don't strike me philosophically as a tariff guy, and I probably don't strike you as one either, and I'm not. And I get how Trump used it in the first term with the Chinese, but I'm not feeling it this time around. It's much bigger. And it seems to be scattershot. Rand Paul put a great tweet up the other day about the market and how it's not some disjointed thing, but it's millions of people making decisions and they don't like it. They're having trouble dealing with the uncertainty, the zigzag of this. How do you see it so far?
Well, part of the zigzag, unfortunately, because we're dealing with reciprocal tariffs now,
yes.
Part of that zigzag is completely out of our control,
right?
Whatever the White House does is dependent on what their counterparts overseas do. Well, that means you have to wait for those counterparts to act before you can act. So inherently, there's an element of uncertainty there that's now outside of your control. But as far as Wall Street goes, you know, look, when we look at the average age of the folks on Wall Street, the money managers, the brokers, the traders, et cetera, what we find is that it's basically within the historical norm, but that means that they are now young enough, or at least they were born late enough, that they did not even see the last great bear market. Their working careers started after that point in time. They don't know how to deal with those kinds of conditions. They also grew up on a steady diet of free trade always and everywhere. Tariffs are never good. They can never be used for any good reason, et cetera. And this was bipartisan. You saw it with Clinton with the free trade agreements he signed. You saw it with Bush with the free trade agreements he signed. I'm using free very loosely here because while other nations essentially demanded access to our markets, we did not place the same demands on them. Yeah, you know, we forget that Canada still has tariffs on American dairy products, for example,
right,
approaching 300%. So this has not by any means been bilateral, and that's what the president is pushing for now. But I say all that, Dom, to say that all of these folks on Wall Street don't know how to navigate a world with tariffs. They think everything will come crashing down if we implement them, but neither the record of history nor economic theory, for that matter, supports that idea. Now, that doesn't mean tariffs are always and everywhere a good thing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the conversation is much more nuanced than either extreme.
Okay, fair enough. I accept that. But I thought we negotiated successfully, and Trump is outside the economic, he's a populist. We renegotiated the disaster of NAFTA, to your point about free trade and Republicans. That's one of the great turnarounds. Free trade was not fair trade. And the people that benefited by that were not the average Trump voter. That's, you know, the steel towns and others, jobs leaving America. But didn't we negotiate that before? What's so different? What did we mess up that first time around with Trump? I thought it was pretty good negotiation on his part with Canada and Mexico.
Well, it was certainly a step in the right direction, okay. Dom. Absolutely. You're 100% right on that. Was it better than NAFTA? Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Again, you're spot on there. Was it perfect? No.
Okay.
And not only was it not perfect, but on top of that, you now have nations like Canada actually basically flaunting it and abusing it, where they are allowing the Chinese Communist Party, to set up shop effectively in Canada to send stuff to Canada, repackage it, sometimes even make it in Canada, whatever the case may be. They're essentially abusing the rules that have to do with country of origin. And so it's allowing Chinese goods this back door to subvert the system and get around the Chinese tariffs, and thereby, again, abuse the USMCA, while Canada gets to take a little bit off the top. So essentially, Trump wants to crack down on abuses like that while also pushing us even further than the original USMCA went, further towards free trade. Let's not forget, back in his first term, Trump went to the EU when they were having all these tariff negotiations, and Trump finally threw his hands up and said, look, guys, let's make this real simple. You get rid of literally all your tariff and non-tariff barriers, and we'll do exactly the same. And they freaked out because that's the last thing they want to do.
Absolutely. So one other area, The View, of all people, noted economist. I don't think EJ's been on The View. I can't even imagine that conversation. But they today were wishing at the audience the destruction of Tesla because it's tied to the public persona of Elon Musk. And that's where the large amount of his wealth is. Is there any danger there for Musk? Both the distraction of doing what he's doing, and, you know, he can't run the business day to day, he said it himself, and the public opinion on this. In other words, if there were another product other than how much his car cost, here's what would be happening because of these rioters and others. The Trump people and a lot of people would do a boycott. They would be buying the product, but I don't know how much they can come to the rescue with a car that's $94,500.
Hey, good question. Yeah, I mean, obviously there are different models that they make, right? Some are cheaper than others, but I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't think that this is actually going to hurt Elon anywhere near as much as these rioters and these vandals think it will. But the people they're really hurting, frankly, are the people who own the dealerships, who work at the dealerships, right? Those are the folks really getting hurt. They're hurting the people with the insurance policies, right, who are having to shell out money to pay claims, et cetera. But you know, Elon himself actually has, for as much money as he has, for the wealth he has a relatively low cost of living himself. I mean, for the longest time, the guy didn't even own a home. He slept on the factory floor so that he could be so that he could be surrounded by the operation 24/7
right.
And be so surrounded by it and knee deep in it that he could perfect it. I mean, this is the kind of guy we're dealing with, right? He's not throwing up mansions across every major American city. He doesn't own a bunch of real estate on the main line, for example. And so, again, I'm not sure you're going to put anywhere near enough of a dent into the guy's annual earnings to throw him into the poorhouse.
No, I don't think so either. What is your big project right now? What are you looking at other than day-to-day? What are you involved in?
One of the big things we're involved in is getting this tax cut across the finish line. And we're looking to not only extend the Trump tax reform, but actually go even further. In other words, reduce taxes even more. Folks don't realize that if this tax reform that was passed during the original Trump admin, if that's allowed to expire, the middle class, not millionaires, not billionaires, the American middle class is going to see a tax hike of over $4 trillion, which is, by the way, roughly the equivalent of how much your cost of living has gone up because of inflation. So imagine the equivalent of going through that all over again, what you've seen the last 4 years under Biden. Imagine going through all that again in terms of your cost of living going up. That's what would happen if the Trump tax reform doesn't actually get through. And by the way, far from being a handout to the billionaires, this is exactly the opposite. You know, Dom, there was only one cohort when we did this analysis, and it wasn't just myself, it was every other group who did it. The only cohort who actually saw their federal tax liability go up because of the Trump tax reform were high income earners in very high tax locations. So that would be like New York City or California or
right.
Illinois,
right.
Because they lost their state and local tax deduction. And that meant that all of a sudden they couldn't reduce their tax liability. So even though their tax rate went down, so much more of their income was subject to tax that they ended up typically paying several million dollars more each per year. So far from being a handout to the billionaires, this was a tax increase on those folks, but a tax cut to the American middle class.
Where do we find you on Twitter? It's such a great source for me and others. Where do we go?
The handle there is @RealEJAntoni. And please, please, please look for that little, you know, the verified, the blue check mark, because there's now a bunch of crypto scammers out there who will impersonate me and try to sell you guys.
Oh, my God.
While
we have you here, you know this, I think, but listeners, I just wanted to reemphasize it. Dave McCormick, the senator, was on, and we were talking the usual stuff. Suddenly, in the middle of it, he goes all crypto about Lehigh Valley. He's going to make it the crypto capital of the country. And he kept on talking right past it. I'm like, Dave McCormick in crypto. Wow. What do you think about this movement toward it with the Trump administration?
I like the fact that they are going exactly the opposite direction of the Biden administration, which was basically trying to smother crypto, right? They were trying to tax and regulate it out of existence. Some of that probably had to do with the Democrats' connection to Sam Bankman-Fried, who defrauded right. so many people with his fake crypto hedge fund, right? He basically ran a Ponzi scheme and was donating a ton of money to Democrats. So that kind of gave I think crypto and Democrats a bad name. So they were probably trying to wash the stink off of that and kill crypto that way. But whatever the case, look, there's no reason for the government to try to kill this new technology. This is leading to a lot of new and exciting places. I think it's very good that people have alternatives to fiat currency, which is constantly losing value. Myself, I don't own any. It's a little too volatile of an asset class for me personally. I'm still a gold fan. But whatever the case, I see no reason why people should not get involved in crypto, why they shouldn't research it, right? Do your own due diligence on it. Now, in terms of financial, as a financial advisor said, I would not put anything more into it than you're willing to lose, right? You got to treat it like a speculative asset, because it still doesn't have a true monetary premium attached to it. But whatever the case, again, I love the fact that it's a new disruptive technology, and I love the fact that the White House is embracing it as such and is not trying to kill it like the last administration did.
EJ, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it.
Dom, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. EJ Antoni here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, a lot there. I'd love to have him and Steve Moore together on tariffs. Not that they'd kill each other, but he put a happier face on the tariff situation. I'm still not there, as much as I admire him. Philosophically, it's too much the textbook in my mind. All the way back to, what was it, the Great Depression, the tariffing? This isn't anywhere near that. And you heard what he said. A lot of these people don't know what to do with a bear market. All right, fair enough. Phone lines, we're coming to you, 855-839-1210. And also coming up, next in the Newsom podcast, Steve Bannon. I'm not sure when that drops. It'll be in the next few days, I think. Again, the point I would make with Newsom, he's not conning anybody. It's nothing to be, oh man, now he's going to get MAGA people to believe that he's reasonable because he'll have on Steve Bannon. All right. I still think the stuff he did on trans is still reverberating. It helps us. It makes the point. He's under fire for it. 855-839-1210. That's how you get.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, that's stylings of Little Yachty. It's a yacht rock guy, right? A yacht rock rapper who has come out stingingly against, Black Lives Matter as a scam, essentially.
Kind of said it more in a joking manner, though, but yeah. He's serious when he says it. He actually doubles down on it. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
BLM? Because you want
to
be so black
BLM,
power?
BLM is a scam.
Clip that! Send it to the
BLM was literally a scam. They had bought mansions, and you probably wouldn't know anything about it because you don't care about black people. So you don't follow black
I do care
news.
About black people. Look at my chocolate. You're mad.
It's a disguise.
Ooh, he just called it a disguise.
I think all right. I'm literally the most pro-black person in this room.
Because you have an all-white staff?
They're not white. They're POC.
I'm gay.
Thank you. But don't laugh.
I do have a gay, so I also am
a gay.
Oh man! So he calls her out for her DEI employing. This is a host, right. Quinlan Blackwell. She does a cooking show, and when asked about BLM, he bites back, and then he doubles down and says, "Well, look at you. You don't care about black people. You got an entire white staff." She says, "They're all people of color." And then one guy chimes in and says, "Well, I'm gay." It's fascinating that this is the way that this is thought of, Dom.
We ought to book this guy or get him on the Meghan Markle show. That's where I want to see this guy.
I'd love to have Yachty on.
Yeah.
Are you a Yachty fan there, Henry?
You know, when he broke out, I was in high school, it was that summer of 2016 with this song you're hearing now, Broccoli, and a few other songs he's put out over the years. Yeah, I'd say I'm a big fan of his.
All right.
He's a cool dude.
All right, we'll have to book him then. I'm sure we got an event coming up.
Henry, get on it.
Get on it. Let's go to Robert and Ben Salem in the meantime. Robert,
you're a little Yachty fan.
Yes.
Hey, how you guys doing today? It's good to talk to you.
Same here, Robert.
If you could get E.J. Antoni, Stephen Moore, Larry Kudlow, they could have their own show. That would be an amazing educational for us regular folks out here when it comes to the economy. But what he left out is, and people are hearing about it, it's the stock market going down. And do you remember that call a long time ago when that guy said that he was enjoying his stock, you know, his stocks, and he was looking good because of Bidenomics and stuff like that? And I told you it's because it was inflated because of green stocks. When Biden printed up that $4.8 trillion and they did them 3 big spending bills, a lot of it went to green technology. $2.2 trillion of it went to green technology. That's why these people invested in it. That's why the stock market went up. And now that that money's going to be drying up, the stocks are going to become worthless. Warren Buffett sold $130 billion. It's like 6 or 7 guys that are selling off at a large rate with their green stocks, and that's driving the market down.
Wait a minute. I think that goes a little too far. That's part of it. I agree. I was on a show last week, Robert, just to give you a little background. I was on Newsmax, and, you know, they put 3 people on a panel. You have like 6 minutes. I talk fast. There's 2 hosts. And they were just laughing and saying, well, this is all just the stocks were overvalued. I didn't have a chance. They didn't come around to me again to say, come on, are you kidding me? There's some of that. But it's also the tariff thing. You know they like to know predictability. This is a very hard thing to predict.
Yeah, but that's not something that would be a set drop in the market. a big sell-off would be. And these stocks are going to become worthless, and the stock market is going to take a big bump because of it. Tariffs come and go. This bubble that was created by Biden mm-hmm. is going to burst, and a lot of people that had green stocks in their portfolios are going to be hurt by it. It'll be temporary, but it'll last long enough.
And I agree. Here's what I'm revolving to. So you probably have a sense of this. This Lutwick guy, the commerce guy, has got too much to say, and the other day said, so what if there's a recession? It'll be worth it. Whoa, wait, let's stop using that word. Let's not go anywhere near there. It's not going to be worth it.
There's not going to be a recession, Dom. $2 trillion of mm-hmm. investment, 10,000 manufacturing jobs. You can't stop the growth. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It's just a bunch of noise being made to generate little bad will towards Trump. Hold on one second, please.
What's he doing?
I think he's delivering. Yeah, I can hear the bag. Order. What's in that DoorDash?
Rob, what's going on there?
Yes.
No, I'm still here. I'm still here. Okay. But what I'm saying is that the stock market is a good thing because you can't have trillions of taxpayer dollars subsidizing the stock market. And that's done. But it's going to be a correction because of it. And there's not going to be a recession. Let the left-wingers talk. And by the way, was one of the hosts on Newsmax Gary Arnell?
No, it was not.
Oh, I call and harass him weekly. But I'll get to my I'll get to my side answer. I'm going to go with Mikhail Gorbachev, who has that wine stain on his head that looks remarkably like Southeast Asia, if you look at it.
It looks like the hammer and sickle to me.
What did Robert get in the drive-thru?
That is, what did you get in the drive-thru? Were you delivering or getting something?
I was delivering to a school teacher at a school.
And continuing macroeconomics talk, this guy can multitask.
See, some of us can, Doc.
That was well done.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks for the time. Have a good one.
Thank you. See, I could tell by Dan the sound, it's attuned in talk radio, that he was taking a bag the way he was squeezing it and handing it versus getting a bag.
Yeah.
That's what my ears were telling me.
Very trained ears.
Oh, after years of this, I picture any caller, you know.
That was impressive by Robert there.
Yeah. I would picture Henry to be about 6'2". There you go.
Right on the money.
Just sounds like that, yes. 855.
He sounds like he's 7'8 with his voice.
I wish.
How are you doing?
855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Here is my favorite sound of the day, Dan. This is cut 14. This is Congressman Burgess Owens, African-American conservative. They're having a committee here on school choice. School choice is coming in the fore. And Dan, I think next week we're going to be able to announce something big on that front that the three of us are involved in. Huge, in fact, on school choice. Well, at least that's what I'm planning. I don't know if we're going to be ready or not, but we can at least announce the rocket's ready to go. But here is Burgess Owens with one of the enemies of school choice, asking her what type of school did she go to? Was she public school educated? Here we go.
Did
you go to a public school system?
No, I went to a private school.
Okay, you went to Head Royce School. Why? I spent time in Oakland. You had a choice in Oakland to go to public schools also. Why didn't your parents do that for you?
Well, I would remind you that children generally don't choose the school that they go to.
No, your parents did. Your parents had a choice. Your parents paid $30,000 to $50,000 a year for your choice. What gets me is how people like yourself, I would say this across the board, parents who have an option. They put their kids in the best schools. They know that's an investment for their kids' future. And yet you come here and say how well it doesn't work. I want to read this real quick. In reality, students who use voucher experience worse educational outcomes than their public school peers. Obviously, your parents didn't think that way because they put you in a private school.
Yeah, they hear this all the time. So all these parents are willing to spend $30,000, $50,000, $60,000, and they're getting worse outcomes. No, we're tired of this. I do hope, look, Trump's got a lot of big matters going on. I do hope the Republican Party seizes this. It's ripe. It's ready to go. It's stunning, the people out there that are for school choice. And the testimony of this woman, I watched a lot of it, was just a perfect example. Well, I didn't make that choice. My parents. Okay, your parents. Why did they do it?
Well, they thought there'd be better outcomes. Exactly. That's why they did it. Why are you stopping poor people from doing it? Why Randy Weingarten the other day saying, we get rid of the Department of Education, what's going to happen? They're going to have more money. They're going to give it to vouchers. Randy, you're so right. That's exactly what's going to happen. I haven't seen any footage today because the Department of Education is shutting down. About 1,300 employees are being laid off. And you may remember the last time this happened, they had that private security guy in front of the building with the USAID taking questions from Maxine Waters. It's almost like a script. It's almost like Saturday Night Live. You can't write it. All right, more calls coming up. Great question today. I love the Gorbachev one. That is an all-time, you know, birthmarks. Some facial feature of one sort or another that really, when you look at it, is a very distinctive person known for it in some way, shape, or form. 855-839-1210. All right, Tom G. or Dano show. In a moment, we'll talk a little bit about Newsom and now Steve Bannon on his podcast. Dan, do you know who Scott Peterson is? I'm just trying to test how famous or infamous this guy is.
Yeah,
and he's one of the few times, I thought death penalty, then he's in life imprisonment, kills the wife, she's pregnant, I forget how many months along. Well, he's making news again today from prison because he got into a heated game of pickleball at the Mule Creek State Prison in California when another prisoner took exception to the convicted murderer's playing style.
Oh.
And served him a butt whooping, says TMZ.
He refused to let it drop on his side before it went over the other side of the net.
Oh, was it?
No, I have no idea.
I'm not sure. I mean, a pickleball brawl. How in the world are we letting these guys play pickleball in prison?
And that was the husband of Lacey Peterson.
Yeah.
Would you rather them be lifting like rusty weights and playing basketball?
Yeah, that's all day.
No net on the hoop.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like a convicted five-time murderer, though, right, is pickleball?
Yeah, playing pickleball, and the other guy beats him up.
Knee-high socks.
Yeah. So I thought he was in a hard-time penitentiary, not one of these,
what's he doing playing pickleball?
Pickleball.
That's
all right.
Fun.
So we have Adam Kinzinger, alleged former Republican, independent, really, just someone who has Trump derangement syndrome. Breaking down now what Gavin Newsom's doing. I'm telling you, this Newsom stuff, you're looking at it the wrong way if you think, oh my God, we're going to be conned by this guy. He's not conning anybody. He lost the first interview with Charlie Kirk. Kirk sounded like the host. The interview he did yesterday, the podcast with Michael Savage. Yeah, Michael Savage. He tried to prove that California is much more reasonable than Florida. He's still on the DeSantis thing. So now he's bringing on Steve Bannon. Here's Kinzinger breaking down what he thinks of this.
I woke up this morning fully expecting the outrage of the day to be something that like Trump did, or the fact that Jared Golden, a Democrat, voted for the continuing resolution last night, which is also insane. And then I see this. I see that Gavin Newsom has decided to invite Steve Bannon on his podcast, and they're going to have just a wonderful conversation. Last week, he had Charlie Kirk on his podcast. That I didn't get extremely outraged about, even though Kirk is one of the bad guys. Bannon is the author of this chaos we're seeing right now. Bannon is the one that says you need to flood the zone with shit. Bannon is the one that has basically authored where we are and what Donald Trump wants. And because Gavin Newsom wants to run for president and thinks he's going to be this healer, he brings on this nationalist. Many of us on the right sacrificed our careers taking these people on, and Newsom's trying to make a career with them. This is insane.
All right, my God, let's unpack that. You're not on the right, first of all, buddy. You weren't on the right. Stop it already. You have Trump derangement syndrome. All right. He's bringing on people to ask them, essentially, and it's part of the cover story, what should Democrats be doing? And he's got the guy, and Dan, I don't know how much you were, Henry wasn't into talk radio then. Bannon, at one point, early on in the election cycle, and then into the first year of the Trump administration, in the first time around in 2016, well, 2017, really, had this whiteboard in which he had all these things they were going to accomplish, giant whiteboards of stuff. And he is the guy, not that Trump needs any, Trump thinks the same way, of flooding the zone. But he owned that. Former naval intelligence guy, he's a multimillionaire and all. And people love Steve Bannon then. And then something happened. Trump got tired of it. Similar to, will it be like Elon Musk? Elon Musk has more cachet. And Bannon disappeared. And then he got caught up in the building the wall scam, etc. And this show, I've had him on a few times. But he is seen as pretty radioactive. He's not Alex Jones, I wouldn't say. But, you know, he's out there. So, Dan, your theory, what do you think Newsom's doing here?
Newsom has a producer that is sitting there with Gavin Newsom and saying, we have this podcast we want to launch. We want to make you relatable, mostly to Democrats, because the audience you're trying to get is Democrats, moderate Democrats in specific.
Right.
So how can we make Democratic policies look palatable to the general audience? Well, let's bring on someone that we can have a intellectual conversation with that we know we can get one over on, that we can dupe. So I think the producers and Gavin are sitting there looking at Charlie Kirk or looking at Steve Bannon, taking what's been hashed to them, the secondhand reporting about their careers in leftist media about how they're idiots. Well, we know they're not idiots. We know that they do have some points behind them, and we know Democratic policies are so stupid that even the worst conservative is still more intelligent when hashing out the full policy. So I think they're sitting there trying to cherry pick the worst of the worst on purpose, who they think is the worst of the worst, in hopes that Gavin Newsom can come out looking great from their interview, when in reality, there's absolutely no Democratic policy that can do that for him.
Why would he give up then? All right, or was this just a mistake? Why would he give up the trans issue? Now he then said, but be nice.
Because I don't think he thought he would even have to address it, because he thought he was so intellectually superior that he could direct the conversation how he wanted to, and obviously we saw how that went. Didn't go so well.
Yeah, I guess he got boxed into it a little bit. I more think he thought he would play with that a little bit and put it out there and see what would happen. But you may be right. He just got caught with Charlie Kirk, who...
And I specifically bring Kinzinger's clip to this, because I think there's an underlying thing here. I think Adam Kinzinger, leaving the Republican Party, heading over to Democrats, talking at the DNC, he wants to be the one that sets the stage as to how can moderation happen. And he's pissed off because he was going to run on that.
That's an interesting insight.
He was going to run on that in 2028. When he puts his name out there for presidential policy, he wants to be the one in the middle. And now Gavin Newsom's trying to step over him and reach out to moderates in a way that Kinzinger isn't happy. So he's got to find a way to distance himself from somebody trying to appeal to moderates. How does he do that? Well, Steve Bannon, there you go.
I haven't even thought about him. He's so far, I don't see what constituency, but you may be right. Or he thought he'd be the advisor, the kingmaker of who is it that can settle all this in moderation, etc. So there's nobody out there. You're not going to do that. We're going to be in 2028 over the same issues. When you have the other side, 80-20 issue, the trans thing, they won't give it up. Illegal immigration, they won't give it up. And the one I've been talking about the last couple of days, I'm going to talk about in the next hour again, this maniac here on a visa, that they don't get it, that he doesn't have the rights of a U.S. citizen. It's not a free speech issue at Columbia. This guy's dangerous, dangerous to the country, dangerous to you and me, and particularly dangerous toward women. They're all rallying around that. And they're actually bringing some libertarian dopes into this. Look, I think with a small L, a lot of people listening might be libertarian. Government stay out of our lives, live and let live. That's all good. That is a good philosophy. But the extension of this thing becomes craziness, that we have to have this guy in the country. Otherwise, we're not true Americans. We don't believe in the Constitution and freedom of speech. I'd love to debate that anywhere, anytime with that. That's not what this is about. We have laws on this stuff. Hamas is labeled a terrorist organization by law. By law, they are. By statute. This guy is here. He's like we're inviting him over to our house. He can be kicked out at any time. Dan invites me over. Hey, Dominic, Maisie doesn't like this. Get the hell out of here. What did I do? Doesn't matter. Get out.
Got to walk the dog. Sorry.
Politely to say. Good night, everybody. It's only 8:30. What's going on here? By the way, a little secret worth throwing. It's not about people leaving. If she says be there at 7 o'clock, yeah, everybody's coming at 7 o'clock, Dan. She doesn't want you there at 7 o'clock. She wants you there later. It's never late enough. Oh, I'm not ready.
Yeah, I never show up right at 7.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What heathen does that, showing up on time?
Yeah. I could see Dan. All right, Maisie, it's 6:59, synchronized. Let's start walking in.
We actually had to go recently to a roller
right
a roller skating party,
right?
And the conversation was that the party starts at 1,
right?
Should we get there at 12:50, be a little bit early? And
no,
but the thing is, though, now this is where it changes. Yeah. It's a surprise party and they don't list
what time
the surprise is happening.
Yeah.
But the surprise did happen at 1:30. We showed up around 1:10. Everything was okay, and there was a debate. I said,
right,
there's no way that they're doing the surprise right at 1 o'clock, because as you're saying here, there are so many people out there wondering, is 1 o'clock the start time, or is that the surprise time? Yeah, so we finally decided to go a little bit late. But it's a conversation I think you have often.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You want to be polite.
Yeah.
All right, let me go to Mark in Glen Mills. I think he's mad at Dan. He can't be mad at me on the Bannon thing. What did I say? Me? Oh, come on.
Yeah, you.
It was Dan.
It was you.
Well, I don't remember saying that. Hey, Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. No, I was just calling in because, you kind of characterized Bannon as out there a little bit.
Here's the evidence. Why is he not with the whiteboard with Trump? Why did that blow up after a year? Is it that Trump started to think, yeah, this guy had a brilliant thought, flood the zone, but then after that, he's out there?
Well, I mean, when you look at a lot of the people in the Trump administration, he didn't bring them back for the second term. I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to work. Maybe he didn't want to be involved. I don't know.
Mark, I got to go back. Wait a minute, Mark. Got to go back. It wasn't not coming back for the second term. If you remember, it was kind of messy. Suddenly, he was forced out there, and that was early on. He gave him.
Well, they threw him in jail.
Well, that's
threw him in jail.
That's later on. No, I'm talking about Trump. They seem to get tired of it. So you have to admit he has said and done. The wall stuff is almost unforgivable.
Well, I don't know. I just kind of viewed him as Breitbart guy and kind of an architect of everything that Trump kind of did the first term. And I thought his ideas, the ones that I've heard, are awesome. I mean, I don't know. It's just my opinion, but
Do you follow him that closely now?
I don't know.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I've seen him interviewed on YouTube, and I've
right.
seen his vision of the world and where mm-hmm. we should be as a country in it, and I think it's far from out there. But they think anybody that makes sense anymore is out there, so who knows?
Well, I give credit. I would say, as I said, Trump's instincts probably were toward that, but he is the original flood the zone guy, and he still says that today. And it is a solid, that's the only way you get anything done in Washington. That is a great legacy, the flood the zone stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I just think we need a little more flood in the zone and all the Republicans so they can stick together and we start winning this thing. Because if we don't, like Trump says, we could lose our country. You know, even what you're saying about these protests, these students and these Democrats, I don't know. They think like no one. I don't know. I'm an old guy, but I just can't wrap my head around what they're thinking.
Gotcha. Thank you, Mike. Thanks. I'll register that. Didn't like what Dan said. Okay, I got it. He is the flood to zone guy. All right, but it was messy with Trump in the White House. So to Dan's point, though, I think Gavin Newsom and his producer are looking for people that they can maybe find an issue or two that they think helps them with somebody that's more moderate, or they look smarter and more moderate.
He's a politician. He's not a host.
Yeah, right.
Like
exactly.
You, like, for example, after an interview, it doesn't matter what kind of what kind of a politician. They always have to carefully protect their image. So the entire point of going into an interview for a politician is to come out the other side looking better than when they went in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the producer has that in his mind. That doesn't apply for a podcast host. A podcast host doesn't have to worry about looking great at the end of an interview like a politician does, and that's why I suggest I think they're just trying to win one over and over again. It's people that they think they can beat in an intellectual debate, and they just can't because their policies suck.
Yeah, and again, under the gun, giving up the trans thing. Now, I more thought that he was going to do that, with Charlie Kirk to make himself look different. But maybe you're right. Maybe he just got overwhelmed in the middle of it and thought, yeah, well, I guess that's okay. That's fair. And then he went on to something else. But he lost that first podcast. The one with Michael Savage was more avuncular. I didn't see anything too much there. But Steve Bannon and Newsom, that's good stuff. I don't know if Bannon's ever been on with Joe Rogan or not. I don't know if Newsom has been on. Would Newsom go on? Maybe not. All right, 855-839-1210. Coming to you, more calls coming up. And Money Melody a little bit later on. And I do want to talk about this guy at Columbia. There was a court case today around it. Hundreds of people were there protesting, fighting with cops. Many of them arrested. This isn't a First Amendment case, not even a little bit. If they want to die on this hill, this is a place to die. If you'd like to offer a defense, though, you think it's a First Amendment, we'd love to hear it. Hey, let's face it. Most people fear the dentist. It's a real thing. It's called dentophobia. Now, Dr. Bentz knows this, and I've seen over the years how he treats even a slightly fearful patient. You don't have to be cringing. It could be just anything. There are people that I've seen there that really get upset, full-on anxiety attack, tears and all. Well, Dr. Bentz and his great staff worked with her every step of the way, doing whatever it took, each appointment gradually to make the person feel more comfortable. Giving her space when needed slowly showed her a positive, comfortable, and safe experience. And now after a few months, she's comfortable and confident when she visits. Told you about the woman that listened to the show in Ocean City, drove all that way, 8.5 years, had not been to a dentist. Wow, you know that's going to be a problem. So it doesn't matter what level of fear you have or if it's just kind of distasteful to you to go to the dentist, you know, you just don't like it. You can count on Dr. Bentz and his staff for a pleasant dental experience and unbelievable expertise, infrastructure, and buy-in by the patient. Just give Dr. Bentz a call at 610-272-6949. Make that appointment today. Take care of that dental work you've been putting off. Finally get the smile that you've always wanted. 610-272-6949. Get that initial evaluation. That's the key. Or BentzDentalGroup.com. All right, Dr. Giordano Show, and thinking about this Newsom podcast with Steve Bannon coming up. Bannon, Dan mentioned that yesterday on MSNBC, they were leading with this antagonism between Bannon and Musk. And, you know, Bannon is a class warfare sort of shtick that he does. And Musk is a target, saying he's going to lead us astray. So this has been going on for a little bit. And the Newsom people thinking, yeah, we'll get him on here, Bannon, and try to drive this wedge with Musk and President Trump. I don't think that's going to be easy to do. Apparently, Musk is ready to contribute $100 million to the Trump political operation. Now, this is where Trump really has flexed a lot of muscle. In other words, even though term limited, he's running all out like he's running for another term. In that, they're putting a lot of money into the political organization to get things done, to get it over the top. Calling for a primary on Massey, though, is out of bounds. You know, I don't agree with Massey not voting for this, but I think he's a legit guy. Sadly, it's out there. Seen it several places from him. Rand Paul is a no when this gets to the Senate. The problem with that, we already need 7 Democrats to vote yes to get this continuation, no shutdown of the government, and then move on to the bigger bill, what we really want. If that comes up one vote short, that's going to be tough stuff. So I think Rand is a bit estranged from where things are going now. He's a great guy. And I think Massey is a very purist, you know, you can accuse him of being a grandstander. Voted against this. One Democrat did vote for it, though. So
there was a time that Bannon called Musk a, quote, parasitic illegal immigrant.
Yeah. So you see, that's where their judgment is.
They're going to try to get him down and attack Musk.
I think he will. But, you know, Dan, it didn't seem to have any impact that I can tell in Trump world. I don't think the president's still enamored with Musk in large measure.
everybody else thinks, and by the way, if the government shuts down, Doge might have a clearer path to go after stuff during that. I don't think it's going to stop any of this. You only put the guardrails on when you get into sensitive areas. One of them is the VA. Even though I think there's a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse, a tremendous amount in the VA, and I think they're going after it appropriately. All right, coming up, big 2 o'clock hour, Dom's Money Melody. And this from USA Today. Donald Trump has successfully coerced your Philadelphia Eagles into providing cover for his cruelty. A guy named Michael Sykes, who's a columnist for them and is a Eagles fan, he says if the Eagles go in April to the White House, they'll be in the history book someday when the tale is told of this fascist in the White House. Can you imagine? You're going to see more of this here in Philadelphia, too. This
can't
type
hear
of stuff.
Me. I'm rolling my eyes.
Yeah, I know. I'll give you some of the lines in here. You talk about over the top. My goodness. All right. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.